Blog Talk Radio.
Looking for insight and opinions on current workforce management issues and trends? Then look no further than blog.acquire.com. You'll find intelligent blog posts from industry thought leaders on what matters most to you. This episode of HR Happy Hour is sponsored by Acquire, industry leaders in workforce planning and analytics solutions.
Welcome to the HR Happy Hour Show. It's great to be back with you. We had a week off last week, a little summer break from the live show, and it's fantastic to be back live on the HR Happy Hour Show. My name is Steve Bose. This is the HR Happy Hour Show. It is July 28th, 2011. If you're listening back on the replay, we're glad you're here. Listening live, of course, we're really happy you're with us tonight for the HR Happy Hour Show. Back in the co-pilot seat after a few week break, a little summer fun, whatever she's up to, working hard, I think, and having a good summer, is Dawn Herdlicka Burke.
Hey, guys.
It's been a wonderful
couple of weeks just chilling out here in Birmingham. Of course, chilling out is not the proper word. It's only about 150 degrees here, but I think that's how it is everywhere, so why am I complaining?
And really, there are a few places more, you know, just more pleasant and exciting to spend summertime than Birmingham, Alabama, cultural capital of the South, as I like to call it.
I tend to agree, sir. I have trained you well.
I love the ham. We've got a lot of friends down there, and
yeah.
Someday I'll go there and try to leave as quickly as possible. So, Dawn, welcome. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here. I love the happy hour for sure.
That's fantastic. So, tonight, we have a really fun show tonight, an interesting show. We'll bring on our guests in just a minute. We are trying to track down one of our guests. We're having a couple of little problems with one of the phone lines calling in tonight on the guest line. So we'll get that taken care of hopefully in a minute or two. But meanwhile, on the HR Happy Hour, a couple quick announcements. Of course, if you're listening live, our call-in number tonight, if you want to get on board and get in on the fun tonight, our call-in number 646-378-1086, of course, and press 1 after you get connected if you want to get on the show tonight. On Twitter, our hashtag, of course, HR Happy Hour, and I can definitely see already there's a lot of folks hanging out on Twitter tonight, which is great, and we'll keep an eye on those tweets and updates and questions and comments there as well. So what else? Oh, thanks to our show sponsors, of course, Acquire, www.acquire.com, Lois Melbourne and Company, just can't say enough great things about them, and we're so happy that they're still with us after all this time. They haven't run for the hills, and so a couple of other quick announcements. I want to dedicate the show tonight, the show about digital influence and clout and recruiting, to my friend and fan of the show, longtime listener Frank Zupan, the clout juice master himself. Frank, this show's dedicated to you, my friend. I hope you enjoy it. Last announcement, HR Evolution Las Vegas. Tickets are still on sale. The HR Evolution Las Vegas, check that out at hrevolutionlasvegas.eventbrite.com and check out that event as well. So, wow, that was a lot. That was a mouthful, John. I think I got all the important announcements out. And so,
yep.
And me, Yeah, I do. And I think also in the meantime, while I'm sort of killing time with the long musical introduction and all the announcements, I think our second guest has made it on board, and I've just opened up her line as well. So tonight we're meant to talk about Clout, of course, K-L-O-U-T, Clout, which is the leading online, and our guest Megan Berry, who's going to come on in a second, can explain to us a little bit better what Clout is, but sort of the leading online measurement of influence and digital influence. And we're also going to talk about what that means to the world of recruiting, sourcing, and for job seekers as well. So we want to get into a little bit, try to get into a little bit behind not just the measurement of influence, but what that measurement might mean and might suggest for recruiting and job seeking going forward. So, Dawn, I think we should just get our guests on board.
I say let's jump on it. I know we got a lot of people who got a lot of questions for her, so let's get her on.
Yeah, I take a week off, and I feel like I can come on and 2 weeks later and just talk all night. That's ridiculous. That's horrible of me. So let's welcome our first guest from Clout. She's the marketing manager from Clout, Megan Berry. Megan, welcome to the HR Happy Hour show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Megan, thanks so much for doing the show on very short notice. I appreciate that. Megan, can you just tell us a little bit about you and then tell us a little bit about Clout for folks who may not know much about Clout?
Definitely. So I'm the marketing manager here at Clout. I've been with the company for about a year and a half. I was actually the fourth employee, and now I'm happy to say we're at about 50 employees a year and a half later. So it's been an exciting growth pattern. And Clout measures influence online. And we give people a Clout score that measures your influence from 1 to 100, as well as looking at your influential topic and who you influence and who influences you.
Megan, thanks so much. Employee number 4, that's pretty cool. That's like you must have a good parking space there at Clout, I'd imagine.
We have no parking spaces, actually.
Well, Megan, thanks so much for the show. And Megan's on Twitter as well, Megan Berry, M-E-G-A-N-B-E-R-R-Y as well. So you can find her on Twitter as well. Our second guest, who's a longtime guest of the show, she's been on several times, and I think she's found her way to the show after some hijinks with Google Voice earlier. Jennifer McClure, are you there?
I am. I lost my way, but I found my way home.
Fantastic to have you back on the show. Jennifer McClure, also known as Cincy Recruiter.
Thank you.
Very influential person in the online space and in recruiting and social media. Jennifer, how are you?
I'm doing well. I heard as I was trying to dial in that Dawn was saying how hot it is, and I've tried to not whine too much lately, but I haven't had air conditioning for 3 days, and it's 93 in my house. So.
Oh, you're kidding me.
So,
are you standing in front of the fridge? So you are actually
fan.
Probably right now, what, naked doing this interview? I'm not sure.
Well, you can imagine whatever you want. How about that?
Yeah, I've heard, Jennifer, some rumors that some of the listeners of the show tonight, Paul Hebert, Frank Zupan, the aforementioned Frank Zupan, who the show is dedicated to tonight, have kicked around the idea of a G+ video hangout thing happening tonight. So perhaps, you might want to keep off of that.
Yeah, I saw that, but I will not be hanging out in a video chat now.
Fantastic. Well, Jennifer, we're glad you made it despite the heat, and hopefully you won't pass out on us from heat exhaustion during the course of the show tonight. So
I'll hang in there.
Thanks for coming back. Anything else we need to know about Jennifer other than you're just everywhere lately? Any other announcements or things you want to mention right now?
I'm omnipresent. That's always been my motto, just be omnipresent. So, not for the next month or so. Kind of doing some project work, have a bunch of presentations that are due. I'm speaking at 6 state conferences, SHRM state conferences this fall. And so,
wow.
Plus a couple of others, recruiting, OnRec, and the nonprofit HR conference. And I think I will basically be following Mark Stelzner and China Gorman pretty much everywhere they go, and Curtis from SHRM. So a lot of people out there in the fall. It'll be a busy and fun fall.
What a motley crew, Jen. What a motley crew, sister.
Yeah.
I have this vision, Jen, of you guys all in some kind of like Partridge Family HR van, touring around the Midwest.
Well, we got Laurie Rudem in there, too. She's keynoting a bunch of conferences, too. So that would be we'd actually make a pretty good Partridge family, yeah.
Well, Jennifer, thanks so much for coming back on the show and as well. So appreciate it. So let's do a quick reset. This is the HR Happy Hour. Dawn, did I mention this is episode 111? I don't think I even mentioned
it. No, but we got the triple one, brother. I think that's
triple
good.
111. 111 down. And
again, your Clout score, I think that's equal to your Clout score, right?
Not quite. And quite frankly, my class score has gone down in the last few days. Ever since we announced this show, I've taken a hit. We'll talk to Megan about that a little bit as well. So HR Happy Hour, we're talking about clout and digital influence and recruiting. Again, our call-in number, 646-378-1086. Press 1 if you want to come on board and get involved in the show tonight. On Twitter, of course, HR Happy Hour is our hashtag as well. So, Megan, I want to throw it to you first to get it started. You mentioned what clout is just briefly at the top. I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit more about the idea behind clout, how it sort of came together, and specifically, as much as you can or care to, you know, from your marketing perspective anyway, about how it actually works. And when we're looking at a clout score, what are we really looking at?
Yeah, definitely. So clout was founded by Joe Fernandez and Vin Tran in late 2008. And Joe actually came up with the idea when he had jaw surgery and his jaw was wired shut. And he was using social media as one of his main modes of communication and noticed that there was a lot of real influence going on these platforms. And that, you know, for kind of the first time in history, there was the opportunity to measure that influence and see, you know, what people were talking about specifically to find influencers on different topics, and you could find who to trust on the social web. So clout was born, you know, out of that idea. And the way we measure is we believe influence is the ability to drive action. And that's really key because a lot of other social media analytics will focus on things like followers or friend count. But, you know, sometimes people follow you for reasons other than that they're actually reading your content. So you really want to see, you know, when you say something, how many people are actually impacted by that. So that being said, you know, the way we sort of break it down is we look at how many people do you influence, and we mean by that sort of not just how many people follow you, but how many people really are influenced by you. How much do you influence them? So if I'm reading your stuff every day, that's different from seeing it every once in a while. And then how influential are those people? Getting, you know, industry thought leaders paying attention to your content is different than getting, you know, people who just joined Twitter.
Megan, that's I appreciate that. Is there sort of an assumption about influence? Because, you know, one of the things we see and people talk about who observe these kinds of measurements, or even the non-algorithmic kind of influence measurements and the ones that are sort of just curated by people, that influence is a difficult thing to actually quantify, no matter how you attempt to do it. So what do you sort of say to folks who say, well, how do you really know if someone's influential by applying these kinds of algorithms? Is there more to it that maybe many people are missing in terms of actually assessing sort of a kind of amorphous concept of influence?
Yeah, definitely. So I think when you dive down into examples, it's easier to see, like, say there's someone who's maybe talking about a number of things on the social web, but one of their core focuses is they're talking about, you know, biking, what type of bike they have, what type of bike to buy, what's better, what routes to go on. And it may be that they're getting a lot of engagement on that, and they start to develop a really focused audience around biking. We could then see that on clout because we'd see, oh, when they talk about biking and related topics, they're getting lots of retweets, they're getting lots of app mentions, or if it's on Facebook, it's likes and comments. You know, we're network agnostic. We look at each action. You know, each action is worthy, you know, regardless of the network. But we see that they're getting a lot of engagement on those topics. And then we'd say that they're an influencer in that subject, and that's something that would show up. And then depending on sort of the volume and the influence of the people, you know, engaging with them, then we'd also get the clout score to indicate their overall influence. So if people are sharing your content, they're clicking your links, they're responding to you, that to us is a really tangible signal that they're influenced by you.
Right, and Megan, I appreciate that, and that's a great answer because realistically, right, we can't follow these people back to their homes to see if they actually go and purchase the product that you're talking about, right, or frequent the business, right? I don't think, John, can we do that? Do we do that in the Birmingham area?
Oh, most definitely.
When you foursquare out that you're at the what's a popular hangout in Ham, Don, that you'd hit up?
Well, you know, I'm looking at the back channel here, and Lori Rudiman was talking about she influences the Waffle House. Got to say, that's real popular in the Ham here.
Yeah, so if you go out to the Waffle House and check in, we're not really checking if your followers are going to show up at the Waffle House, but if they start talking about it, or if they retweet that, or share their profess their love for the Waffle House with you, that I guess that's some indication, right, that you might be driving some traffic to the house, right?
I would like to think so.
Yeah, great. Again, let me do a quick reset. This is the HR Happy Hour. My name's Steve Bose. Don Herdlicka-Burke is co-piloting tonight. Our guests are Megan Berry from Clout, Jennifer McClure from Unbridled Talent, and we're talking about Clout and more broadly sort of digital influence in general. Just, Megan, one more thing on Clout before we sort of move out and get into a little bit more broad discussion about sort of digital influence and then its impact or possible impact on hiring and recruiting. Are there other things that you guys are starting to look at in terms of your algorithms and how you calculate influence, things that maybe you haven't brought into account yet, like maybe blogs or, I don't know, other things like Jennifer's on a grand tour of the United States this year speaking at many conferences, and something like that might you know, drive some influence, you know, capability or level on her score, but it probably wouldn't fit into the Clout scheme now. Are there other things Clout is looking at right now to try to expand the definition of online influence?
Definitely. So two answers to that. One is, you know, if you're doing a speaking circuit, if you're doing something like that, you often will see that reverberate in the social web, in Twitter, in Facebook, people talking about it, talking about you on there, and you often will see that. That does impact the score. The second question, though, part of that is very valid, which is, you know, there's influence signals we're missing when we're looking at right now. It's Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Foursquare. So our goal is to integrate many more networks. Things that are coming soon are Facebook fan pages, because right now we only score personal profiles, as well as Google+, and ideally YouTube. So those are networks we're thinking about. Our goal is to measure influence everywhere people are creating content.
Great. Megan, thanks for that. So Jennifer, that's good news for you, right, as you make your tour this fall. Hopefully that'll get taken into account as well, right?
Absolutely. I certainly had that in mind. I need my Clout score to go up.
Yeah, definitely. So Jennifer, I'm going to throw this next question to you, you know, and I know you're sort of a keen observer of obviously you're an expert in recruiting and social recruiting, but also really, you know, a lot of the content that I'm sort of drawing on for this show was content that was originally shared by you, right, that you shared with your followers and folks who follow you on Twitter or Google Reader. And I'd love for you to comment a little bit about what you're seeing, maybe in general, and then you can talk more specifically if you have some specific examples you'd love to share, about how influence and sort of digital reputation is starting to reach into the world of recruiting and job seeking. Just give us a little bit of a high-level perspective on what you're seeing in and around digital influence affecting recruiting.
Sure. You particularly liked that article called "I'm a Social Media Slut," right?
I sure did. I quoted it in my post today when I was picking out the show, but I thought it was perfect for the content tonight. So, yeah, I would love for you to talk about that.
That's right. Well, I think just in talking to recruiters in general and kind of I'm also here in the Cincinnati area in particular, try to stay close to the marketing and PR communities, I think, you know, for certain jobs in a small, you know, kind of digitally advanced area. So the people who were the first people to get on Twitter and the first people to get on Facebook and the first people to join Google+, et cetera, that's that kind of digital marketing community that's trying to figure out how to use social media to, you know, market, advertise, make money. And more you're seeing Clout scores being raised as either an issue in the application process or even the interview process or the selection process for those types of roles. And I think, you know, while it doesn't necessarily sound palatable that's occurring for some roles, let's say you're going to be a community manager, your Clout score in that community space might be worth considering in the interview process, because it would show that you have already developed some ability to understand how to build a following, you know, reach out to a community and influence them in a certain space. Now, that's going to be a very narrow niche. But when you get into, you know, I haven't seen this yet, but roles like certainly accounting or finance or you know, sales, those types of things, I haven't heard about Clout scores being used, but it is being whispered, talked about, and/or used as a decision criteria for some jobs in that kind of digital marketing space.
Now, Jennifer, you mentioned sales in particular, and I'll just follow up with you on that topic, because I was promoting the show today, and I talked a little bit about the one article that you had shared with us with everyone, not just me, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. Although I felt like, Jennifer, when you shared it, I felt like you were just sending it right
when
to me.
When I share on Google Reader, I think about you, Steve.
Yeah, fantastic. But I quoted Chris Dunn. Chris, in one of his recent posts, talked about it was a context of a sales recruiting effort, and he was talking about a guy who might be a candidate for an aggressive sales, outward bound sales position, sort of a hunter position, and the guy only had 42 or something LinkedIn contacts. And Chris sort of concluded, well, I don't know if this is the right guy. You've got 42 LinkedIn contacts. He's going to be hurting. He's going to be looking for all kinds of help to generate leads. I'm not sure this is my guy. And I know that's not really the clout score or any other kind of influence score, but it's kind of the same thing, isn't it? Like, we're looking at people's activity or presence on social media and making that quick evaluation.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you as an executive recruiter, which I did for 4 years, depending on the role. Now, Chris's example was a salesperson, and someone on Google Plus, the conversation I had asked earlier today, so somebody commented, I believe it was Kelly Dingy, commented on that, hey, I'd still pick up the phone and call the person if they have 43 LinkedIn connections and they're a salesperson, mm-hmm. because maybe they have a Rolodex that's full and they're very old school, but they're very effective. And I agree with that. I think you still need to have the conversation. But I can tell you, as an executive recruiter, at one point, and this was probably 3 or 4 years ago, I was recruiting for a director of recruiting role, and one of the people that I was potentially interested in had 9 connections on LinkedIn. And I did not go further with that person because, for me, that director of recruiting role required somebody that would be understanding the whole realm of recruiting. So certainly I want them to understand how to build relationships and use the phone and all the other stuff. But if they aren't understanding how to use a tool like LinkedIn for recruiting, and this was for a major corporation, I don't think we need to go any further. And so I think, we've used things like clout or other measures all along. It's just like a client saying that they want someone to have an SPHR or PHR. My question back to them is always, what is it that you're looking to get by having someone who has an SPHR? And I want to get to the actual meat of why they feel like, and usually with clients, especially like CEOs and types, they don't even know. They just say, oh, it's SPHR. So I think if clout came up in the conversation, I'd do the same thing. What is it that you're looking to get if you want someone with a high clout score, and try to get more to the underlying what they're looking for.
Jennifer, thanks for that. Megan, I'll just do a quick follow-up to you. Megan, do you at Clout, does the team at Clout kind of think about the Clout score in that kind of context, in terms of like more well-established credentials or more well-known things like, say, CPA or, other licenses that people might get? Or do you think about it in those terms, or is that maybe putting the cart before the horse a little bit?
Right. I mean, we kind of think of it in some ways as a social credit score. So we don't think of it as being necessarily specific to one trade, but as something that you look at the clout score and topics of influence in tandem to really understand what someone can sort of talk about intelligently and who they have an audience around, who their audience is, basically.
Right, right. And but in mind that you really are striving to become sort of the de facto measurement, right, of online influence that will eventually become that sort of cross-industry standard measure that will have that kind of, a similar kind of impact, right, that some of these more established credentials might have.
Right, definitely. Our goal is to be the standard for influence.
Right, right. Let me do a quick reset. Boy, this show's flying by already, Don.
Yeah.
Jennifer, hopefully you're hanging with us, you're hydrating properly in the heat there. But good stuff so far. This is the HR Happy Hour show. We're talking about clout and digital influence and the hiring process and its impact on hiring. And we're going to get into job seeking here in a few minutes as well. Our guests are Megan Berry, marketing manager from Clout, Jennifer McClure from Unbridled Talent. John Herlicka-Burke is with us as well. My name's Steve Bowes. We're really glad you're hanging out with us tonight on the show. Our call-in number, 646-378-1086. Press 1 if you want to come on board and ask a question, make a comment. Sadly, Blog Talk Radio, not yet factoring into Clout scores, which much to my chagrin, but hopefully soon. So you won't get any extra points for calling in tonight other than I'll probably plus K you at some point. Twitter, our hashtag, of course, HR Happy Hour as well. Don, a lot of stuff going on the Twitter stream as well. I've had a very difficult time keeping up with it.
Yes. My attentions are diverted. I'm needing some medication right now to keep up with it all. But you just keep on keeping on, y'all.
Yeah, you're fantastic, fantastic. So I'd love to get into a little bit more about understanding clout and the impact of clout or other forms of digital influence for folks who are maybe looking for work, right? So, you know, folks who are out there in the market, maybe our friend here that Chris wrote about who might only have 42 LinkedIn connections and or just have doesn't really have that really established presence. Do we worry, Jennifer, a little bit that you know, folks are maybe we're pushing a certain group of folks or a classification of folks a little bit more behind the eight ball by now we have this sort of quantification where we can actually compare one to another with a measurement like this and if they're not quite as adept or as maybe experienced on the social web?
Well, I think today more and more jobs require some sort of experience on the social web. It's the next form of communication. Doesn't mean that, you know, snail mail has necessarily gone away, email hasn't gone away, the phone hasn't gone away, but it's an evolution in communication. And if people in who are searching for jobs or who are involved in the business world don't understand how to utilize these tools to network with their relationships, to use them to connect with opportunities or, you know, to use it for professional development, then they are getting behind the eight ball. So it's back to kind of that director of recruiting example. You know, if that person is not using the tools in their work life that are required to be able to connect to some percentage of the candidates, then, you know, they're getting farther and farther behind. So a job seeker today who isn't investigating and understanding how to, even if it's just lurking and gleaning information from the social web, they don't necessarily have to have a high clout score and 5,000 connections on LinkedIn, but that's where a lot of the information is today about how to be the best candidate for the job or how to connect to someone to be able to be the one who gets called for the interview. They are getting left behind if they're not using the social web.
You're right. Can Jennifer, do you get concerned a little bit, though, that if whether it's clout or just the social web more in general, that perhaps we can, whether it's candidates or folks who are maybe looking for a change, right, maybe in a job now, that we're perhaps, I don't know, maybe rewarding slightly the wrong things. I mean, and what I mean is we're sort of trying to get people to, I don't know, maybe create this sort of artificial presence, if you will, to in order to improve a metric or a score.
It depends. I mean, I know people can buy Twitter followers, and, you know, there are things where you can sort of game the system in some way, and I've read some posts where your clout score can be, you know, somebody did an experiment, and your clout score is significantly influenced by volume of tweeting, so not necessarily influence. And I know, for example, my clout went way up during the Shern conference, and it's gone steadily back down. Over the last few days since the Sherm conference, you know.
Jennifer, that has been, you have just described my story as well.
Oh,
every
no.
day, I feel like it's going down a little more and a little more.
Well, some of that's related to volume and certainly the volume of replies and whatnot. And so, yeah, I think you can game it a little bit. But, again, if somebody does build a broad network on social media and they are, you know, building influence, et cetera, they, you know, unless they're using it as their full-time job, you know, I think that would be difficult to do. In the interview process or the selection process, I'm certainly more interested in, I think, you know, a good interviewer should be able to pull out, okay, so you have a clout score of 75. Tell me how that impacts what you do. How are you able to utilize your network? You're going to get to the meat of whether or not that actually means anything in an interview process, or at least you should. But it certainly could be a good starting point. You know, I'd be interested in, if I were looking for a community manager and they had a clout score of 80, which I think the highest one I've seen is like Pete Cashmore at 88, I want to talk to them
and
about
Frank
what
Zupan.
That means, how
yeah,
they
Frank
got
Zupan,
there,
yep.
Those types of things.
Well, Jennifer, as an HR practitioner, I am in the trenches HR VP, and I can say, and Megan, maybe you've got some insight to this as well, I think in mainstream recruiting, clout isn't even on the radar right now.
Oh, not really.
No, I mean, it's not even on the radar. So I want to be sure that we're spending a little bit of time talking to the people on tonight's show a little bit about some of the functionality and what are some ways that this can start to come into the practical HR world. But to piggyback on what you were saying, Jennifer, I think that a clout score is perhaps the catalyst to more questioning and conversations. I think my concern, just like you would with any assessment piece, is people taking too much and putting too much weight on a clout score and not understanding how are the people actually influencing others. Because I think that you can absolutely get into a problem. It's easy. I think it's easy to generate buzz if you're able to, you know, get some catchy subject lines or headlines. But, people like Hitler influenced people.
I love it. Yeah. Don, those are really – actually, Don, that's a really good point. So I have sort of two questions that I want to pitch to Megan right now. Okay, the first question, Megan, is a little bit about just maybe some clarification around quote-unquote gaming of these kind of scores. And obviously you're from clout, so you can talk specifically about clout a little bit. But, I mean, I think that's a bit of concern, right, that folks can just maybe with volume or some artificial measurements or buying followers or jerry-rigging the system can kind of sort of game the system. I'd love for you to comment just in general and specifically as you feel able to about how clout looks at those kinds of situations and how you're best attempting to deal with that.
Definitely. So we have a science team that works really hard on all of those issues. Gaming is obviously something we look at very closely. We have a lot of things in place, so it's not as much of an issue as you think. And just to point out, like we do not measure volume in clout score. That specific article had a very small sample size when looking at people. And certainly if you're not interacting on the social web, it's hard for people to engage with you and respond to your content. But it's not about volume. It's about how many people are actually responding to you and how influential those people are. It's actually a similar system you can think of as Google PageRank, but for people as opposed to websites. So similar to Google, like gaming, something we're always, you know, worried about and we're always going to work to prevent. But we're lucky in the sense that if you actually can get people to respond to your content, to engage with you, to share your content, that kind of is meaningful.
Okay. Megan, I appreciate that. And so volume doesn't really matter. I love that line about sort of page rank for people. That sort of sets a good context for us. And the second question I had for you, Megan, based on some of the things Don and Jennifer were mentioning, was topical influence, right? And so when we go on Clout today and we see, you know, Jennifer McClure is influential in recruiting and staffing and social media and community and whatever else. You know, our friend Lori Rudiman is influential in Waffle House, I learned tonight, which is kind of cool. So, and this sort of gets to maybe Don's point about, well, I can engage a lot of my followers in some crazy stuff. I can tweet about bacon all day long, and people are going to just really dig that, right? Everybody loves bacon. So I'd love for you to comment a little bit about sort of influence and the sort of subsets of influence that clout looks at and that really any system like this should look at regarding topics and areas of expertise.
Sorry, was that for me?
Yeah, Megan, I'd love for you to just comment a little bit about how clout sort of comes up with some of those topics and what someone is influential in.
Yeah, definitely. That's actually a part that I'm personally increasingly interested in. Because obviously the score is a great metric and it's a great shorthand for a lot of things. But, you know, if we're really talking about recruiting, what does this mean? You have to look beyond the score. So topics is a great thing to go with that. Okay, so they're very influential. People listen to them, people engage with them, but what are they engaging them on? You know, if they're influential on, where to go in Vegas, that might not be helpful for your company. So
you do,
topics is a great thing to look at. The way we measure it is we look at the tweets, posts, messages that get the most engagement from the most influential people, and then semantically analyze them to understand what high-level topic it relates to. So if I'm, tweeting about, the Palms Hotel in Las Vegas, that would probably translate back to being influential about Las Vegas. And similarly, you know, that you could be technology, marketing, recruiting, you know, food, any number of areas.
And would you also look at things like the people that are engaging with the content and what they're interested in and what they tend to talk about as well? Does it get that deep? Like, sort of, I know Google, and you mentioned PageRank, and I know there's a part of PageRank that evaluates the quality of the sites that are linking back to your site. Do you also sort of look at it that way as well?
So we look at the quality of people in the sense that we look at how influential they are. We currently don't, in our topics, look at are they influential and also influential in that topic. But it's certainly something interesting that we might do in the future.
Okay, great. Let me do a quick reset. HR Happy Hour, we're a little bit more than halfway through the show. We're talking about clout and digital influence. Boy, we've learned a lot about clout tonight. This is fantastic. And I promised myself I wouldn't talk too much about like my declining clout score, but I feel like after tonight I should get at least a half a point of clout or something.
I'm feeling a big 1 point jump here, brother. I'm feeling a 1-pointer.
I hope so.
Keith, or Megan, maybe you could answer this. I did read somewhere that the plus Ks, while they're nice for people to give you, they actually do not impact your clout score. Is that correct?
So that is correct. Plus K is a signal for us about the topic that you're influential on. So I would give plus K to someone because they had influenced me. Say I bought a computer because of something they said. So maybe I would give them a plus K in computer hardware or something like that. And that's a great signal for us and for everyone else about what they're influential on. That doesn't impact their clout score in of itself. So because we want to kind of watch that closely and make sure that there's no gaming going on, which, of course, is a concern, and since you can only do it on clout.com, we want to be really careful with that to make sure we're looking at everyone equally.
But the fact that I gave, like, Laurie Rudiman plus K in Waffle House, which I feel like she is influential in Waffle House, it could mean that if Waffle House were looking to give out some clout perks, they would be looking at who those people are from the plus Ks, right?
Definitely. So it's a combination of our own analysis and then plus Ks definitely factor in.
We've dived into a little bit into the depths of clout, but essentially, Megan, the plus K is just an indication on the clout.com site that sort of more explicit expression of influence or perhaps even thanks maybe one user can give to another user about a topic. Is that a fair way to explain what a plus K is?
Definitely.
Hey, and Megan, are the plus Ks only accessed through the clout website, or are there any other ways through other links that we're able to plus K people?
Right now it's just through clout.com. We've definitely been talking about other ways to allow people to give plus Ks that we could read, but that's something for the future.
I think that would be a most excellent development if we really want to see some authenticity to the clout score.
So, Don, is your thoughts that you would drive out that kind of that indication out more, I don't know, more closely aligned to where, I don't know, transactions are happening? Or
yeah,
or,
I mean, I kind of would
you,
love it, you know, I think it's just kind of like liking content on Facebook.
Okay.
I think it would be most excellent if there were some sort of, API or some sort of widget, something throughout content. For instance, let's say I'm reading a blog post of yours and I can give it a plus K. I think that might be something very, very interesting and compelling for the future.
Okay. Let me do, John, let me do a quick reset, Jennifer and Megan as well. HR Happy Hour, my name's Steve Bose. Our guests are Megan Berry from Clout, Jennifer McClure from Unbridled Talent, Dawn Herdlicka-Burke from Daxco, VP of People, which Dawn's got the cool title.
Of all people, all of you who are listening, I'm the VP of you all.
That's right. Our call-in number is 646-378-1086. There's a bunch of people hanging out on the line just listening to the show, which is fantastic.
Awesome.
If any of the folks on the line, there's about 15 of you right now at least, want to come on board and ask a question or make a comment, just press 1 on your handset right now, and I will open up your line and we'll hear from you. Again, on Twitter, our hashtag HRHappyHour. HR Happy Hour as well. So, you know, a couple things, just a quick I'm not sure, Don, if these are even questions, but they're more observations. One thing I started thinking about when we're talking about sort of gaming the system and playing it and sort of you know, people don't really do that unless they perceive there's some sort of benefit to be gained, right? Like, no one would game a system or a score or a measurement if they didn't think there was any kind of payoff, right, that could happen if they were successful at gaming it.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So the
yeah.
fact that folks are talking about it and thinking about it, well, can this be gamed? Can this be played? Sort of is that indication. Well, this might have some resonance, right? Or no one would care, right? No one would bother trying to come up with a
sort of
weird way.
I think you bring up something very interesting, Steve, because the one thing that I think works in Clout's favor is it does cater to everybody's sense of kind, I guess in a worst-case scenario, vanity. I guess that's not a bad
mm-hmm.
thing. It also, it's very, very compelling and interesting. We all like to see how other people think of us. And I think that's something that's in its favor if you're talking about kind of this marketability of clout.
Mm-hmm. And a competition factor as well, right?
Yeah.
Megan, do you get a sense of that as well? You know, Clout is only a couple of years old, right? You, at least before the show, you told us, I think Clout is about 2.5 years old, or has been around for about 2.5 years. Is that correct?
Correct.
Right. And so do you get the sense it's still a relatively new company, a relatively new algorithm and measurement that are you sometimes surprised by it? Like, are you surprised that people like us in the HR and recruiting space and sort of only half kiddingly, Don, I feel like we're only half joking about these scores, like are really that sort of interested in this? Did you guys expect the level of almost competition that would come up in and around these scores?
I mean, I think we were happily surprised to see how this caught on, but I think that is because of, one, you know, the fact that social media had already caught on, and it's already clear that that's important. That matters for recruiting. It matters in your life. You can do things that mess up a job, and you can do things on social media that help you get a job. So what we brought into the picture is, you know, we're the first real way that really tries to measure how influential are you on these platforms? Are you, you know, are you driving people to take some sort of action? And then, that begs the question, okay, how can a business apply this? Do I care about this in my fans, in my employees, et cetera?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, it could actually, you know, not today maybe so much, but it could actually in the future be somewhat relevant to the recruiting process. Because if you think about it the way, you know, I understand Clout kind of measures it now, it's not just mentions, but it's also whether or not I get other influential people to interact with me. So, for example, if I can get Chris Brogan and Pete Cashmore and Robert Scoble to all interact with me or comment or like stuff on my Facebook page, et cetera, I am in some way connected to other industry influencers if I'm in the social media industry. Where I think it could get interesting is if you can actually have it be niche, you know, where like the plus K stuff now is if, you know, Steve Bose is influential in HR technology, that it actually measures his influence within the HR technology community. Because if you are interacting with the Robert Scobles of the HR technology community, that can be meaningful to how well you can get your job done by being able to access resources, to being able to connect with people. Today, I think it's a little bit too broad. You know, again, if I want to try to game the system, I just need to try to get a game, you know, somewhat, a few influential people to start interacting with me. But it doesn't necessarily mean I'm influential in my space. So while my Clout score may be high, if I can't get anybody to do anything or act on anything I say in the recruiting and HR space, then I'm not really that influential overall.
I know, I think that is an excellent point. I think that is an excellent point, a great way to use it, actually, as it is right now.
Right. And
so,
I think
so
that's
much like,
you know, it,
yeah.
The HR examiner list, and we don't necessarily want to open up that can of worms. In theory, I think that's what they're trying to find a way to get to. I just don't know that anybody yet knows how to really measure your influence in your actual industry, and I think that's meaningful.
Hmm.
Jennifer, and that's an interesting question. It's a more broad question, I think, certainly an interesting one, because we know, you know, and Megan may not be as familiar with this, at least in our space, right? We're getting really sort of inside our little micro community now, but certainly in our space, right, there's these lists of digital influence that get published through HR Examiner primarily, and maybe there's a couple more. I don't know. But I'm trying to be done. I'm acting very cavalier. Like, I don't check them the second they come out to see if I'm on them.
Right.
Yeah.
We know better, kind sir.
Of course, right. I think quite frankly, the way I interpret these lists is those types of lists is either way, right? If I'm on the list, it's invalid, and if I'm off the list, it's invalid. So I've got it both ways. I've got it both ways rationalized, but.
But whether people like those lists or not, or whether people like your clout score or not, the fact is people are acting on those. I've been fortunate enough, or unfortunate, depending on how you look at it, to make a few of those lists, and I get calls and or business opportunities more often than not because someone saw my name on that list. So
right.
I think that's the beef of a lot of people is, you know, that it's a false influence and that people are getting recognized who shouldn't be. Fine, but I think some, you know, all of this, whether it's clout or other online influence tools, some, you know, people are trying to find a way to actually measure influence because it does matter. And Trish McFarlane, I think, has a really good definition of it. You know, do people actually do something as a result of my actions? That's what true influence really is, not just a retweet, not just a like or a comment. You know, would they list me as their top 25 in their top 25 personal influential people who influence them? And that, I think, once we can get to, and somebody will, whether it's cloud or somebody, once we can get to kind of measuring that, can I get, again, if I'm in the HR space, can I actually influence people to act? And if I can, then I could be valuable to an employer, or I can be valuable as a consultant, or I can be valuable as an independent business owner because I'm going to move the needle as a result of being able to influence people.
Yeah, Jennifer, that's a great point. I think the next step of that, or perhaps a corollary to that, would be certainly for maybe middle-sized or larger organizations, you know, having that kind of influence and being able to measure it inside organizations.
Well, it's no different than what Josh Letourneau has been trying to get people to understand, but it's such a complex concept you can't really get. I still can't even understand it, that social network analysis. In a large organization, who are the people that actually are the movers and shakers? You know, when you start thinking about retention or layoffs or succession planning, you really ought to be looking at who the real influencers are in the organization, and often they're not the ones with the biggest titles. So, again, whether it's cloud or SNA or some of these other things, that stuff I think is interesting and important, especially as communication moves more online.
Yeah, and so I guess, right, the ultimate is things become more of a, I hate to use the word because I just think it's kind of a weird word, but maybe a meritocracy versus sort of a title kind of thing, right? It's more your how your actions are interpreted and acted upon rather than just, you know, your proclamations from a position of authority. And whether that's inside the organization, as we're talking about now, or sort of in most of the show, we're talking about sort of in the broad social web. Because Megan, I'll throw this out to you. Clout, I think one of the cool things about clout or these kind of algorithmic measurements is it doesn't really matter who you are, right? Everybody's sort of evaluated on the same scale. Is that fair to say? It doesn't matter where you're coming from, right?
Absolutely. And that's something we talk about a lot. What we love seeing is when, you know, what you can call everyday people become top influencers in a given topic. And that's really cool to see that, you know, someone maybe they're in their 20s and they've spent all their time looking at different cameras and they're really the expert in that area and people look to them for that. And there's tons of examples like that. And that's great to see. And I think it is, you know, to use your words, a meritocracy.
Right.
You know, and in that regard, it, you know, that hard metric, that objective metric is kind of like the great equalizer. And that is one thing that I do very much like about just having that metric. If we can prove some validity behind it, that makes it better. But I do like that it is equal across all planes and all people. So that's nice.
Yeah, no doubt. We've got about maybe 10 minutes or so left in the show. It's been a really interesting conversation. We've bounced around a little bit, but it's still been quite interesting. We're talking about clout, online influence, how it affects the recruiting process, how it might affect the job-seeking process a little bit, and perhaps we can talk a little bit more about that in the last few minutes of the show. This is the HR Happy Hour, of course. My name is Steve Bowes. Our guests are Megan Berry from Clout, Jennifer McClure from Unbridled Talent is with us. Dawn Herdlicka-Burke riding shotgun tonight as well. Great to have Dawn back. Our call-in number, one last time tonight, 646-378-1086. Press 1 if you want to get on board and ask a question or make a comment tonight. Knowing Dawn, our listeners and our callers, many of them will save it for the back channel or just be snarky on Twitter. So that's cool. We love that. Our Twitter hashtag, of course, HR Happy Hour as well. And so, honestly, we haven't even mentioned this, but we talked a ton about clout. We sort of assumed people knew it and were on board with it. But, Megan, people, if they want to sort of engage with clout a little bit, they do have to actually connect to the service. Is that right? Go to clout.com and sort of register themselves, if you will?
Yeah, and that's completely free. All it takes is registering with one network, and then you can find out your own clout score and look up anyone else's.
I'll tell you what, and I'm going to use from my experience, it's a little bit addictive. Once you do that and you see that score and Clout puts up that chart for you and you see your score fluctuating on a daily basis, that's, you know, I'm down.
Dave, I'm learning so much about you, sir.
I know. I never thought I was that competitive. But
well, a lot of it's competitive, but it's even like, you know, LinkedIn was pretty smart when they started out with the, you know, they're not going to show more than 500 plus connections, but people couldn't handle that. So now you see people who listed in their headline, you know, 39,000 plus connections.
Wow.
Measure. And people will look at that, and some people will say, wow, that person doesn't know anybody because they know everybody, or, quote, know everybody. And some people look at that and say, wow, that's powerful. I mean, you know, somebody like a Jenny Devon, who is very influential, knows her stuff, awesome in every way. You know, Jenny starts out, you know, in her bio, it says she's the seventh most connected person on LinkedIn. And when she, you know, is introduced that way, there are always people in the audience that will be like, wow, you know. Immediately she gets some credibility because she has a high number of connections on LinkedIn. You know, once they hear her speak, she obviously gets a lot more credibility just because she knows her stuff. But we're, as humans, we're wired to look for ways to measure people. We do it whether we like to or not. We do it as recruiters whether we like to or not. And it's about having more or being more or being known for more. And people have always been able to game those types of things. You know, a great salesperson can come in and tell you that they know everybody in the world and they have a huge Rolodex, and then you hire them and they come to work for you and they can't make a sale because they don't actually really know anybody. Mm-hmm. So this is not necessarily something new. Again, it goes back to the interview process and really being able to vet people and your reference checking and, you know, do they actually do what they say they can do and have they had a track record of performance. We can't just take at face value that a salesperson comes in and says, wow, I know everybody in the industry. I can get in any door overnight. You have to be able to test that in order to make a good hiring decision.
Right. So maybe the online, the influence of online social networking for business as well as just for social means sort of means we don't really have to trust anybody anymore, right? I mean, that's kind of it.
I think you have to test, trust no one, test everything, you know. You can't say, again, okay, if Pete Cashmore again comes into my office and I'm looking for someone for a social media role and he has a clout score of 88, well, I can start to ask some questions from that, but he probably starts off pretty high on my potential candidates list because he's got a very high clout score in the social media space.
Yeah. Jennifer, I love that sort of concept, and I'll just throw this out real quick, just a short question. I'll ask you and Dawn as well. Megan, you can feel free not to comment because I know you're not a recruiter, and I'll throw it out to the Twitter stream as well just for a quick answer. Would you set up a screen? That's assuming the job requires some sort of acumen on the social web. It doesn't matter what job it is, PR, marketing, whatever. Would you today, as a recruiter in your organization or an HR professional in your organization, put up a screening sort of barrier on something like a clout score? Would you include that in a screening criteria today? Would you? Dawn, I'll throw it to you first. Would you do that?
Not yet. I would. If we're talking about like using it as a first-level eliminator, like through an applicant tracking system, not in a million years. A few years from now. But would I look at it as a way to ask more follow-up questions? Yeah, absolutely.
Jennifer, how about you? Assuming the job requires that kind of acumen that we've discussed, would you use that as an initial screening criteria, a clout score?
I would add as a criteria. I mean, it's something I would look at. It's not necessarily something I would kick somebody out for, but I'm going to look at their LinkedIn profile. I'm going to see, you know, what they're talking about on Twitter. Do they engage with people? I'm going to look at their clout. It's cumulative. I mean, again, it's nothing different than what we've been doing.
Hey, a couple years ago, I know, it's a couple years ago now, right? Best Buy, I remember the example. Best Buy put out some job. I don't remember what the job was, some sort of online community job or marketing job or something, and they said 250 followers, right? You have to have on Twitter to apply. And everybody saw how cool they were, right? Everybody.
No, actually,
they
got bombed on pretty bad, and then they turned it around and did a great thing. They crowdsourced the job description.
Okay,
you know,
but
But they started with an arbitrary measure, and people let them know it was arbitrary.
so that wasn't cool? People didn't like that?
Science people did not like
that.
That
was like, wow, mm-hmm. That's so innovative and neat. No?
Where did you come up with the number? And, again, it's arbitrary. And I think, you know, Best Buy recognized that and said, okay, so it's not necessarily $250, but what do you think the job description? And so they got a lot of play in PR, you know, from their gaffe.
So it was still a nice win.
I'm sure they hired somebody really good.
Yeah, because right. The reason why I brought it up is to me, it's not. You know, I know the cloud score is certainly much more complex and pulls into a lot of network factors, and it's a calculation that's evolving over time, and it's certainly more relevant than just a count of followers. But I kind of get that same kind of impression. It's a similar kind of thing, and so
you know what we need, since Don's the hiring person here, that actually is hiring somebody. Don, you need to post a job description on the World Wide Web that requires a clout score of X.
Yeah.
So that everybody will bomb on you, and you'll get tons of PR, and then you'll end up hiring a great person. So somebody just needs to be
first.
Let
me throw that to Megan.
It's going to happen tomorrow.
Megan, are you aware of this happening? I'm sure you probably are, but this is happening more than we think it is, right? That organizations are looking for the clout score as part of the screening process?
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely heard people talking about it, heard about it coming up in interviews. I can't say that I have seen just straight up someone say this is a minimum, so that probably mm-hmm. would get you a little PR boost there. But it's definitely something that's coming up.
Right, right.
So, Megan, since we're talking about scores, there's been some questions on the back channel. At what point is it really hard to raise your score? I mean, is it easy to get to a 20 or a 30 or a 40? Where's that tipping point?
Yeah, so it continues to get exponentially harder as you go up the scale. So it's not like there's necessarily one point where it becomes trickier. It just sort of gets harder and harder. So, you know, going from a 20 to 25 is actually pretty easy, whereas going from a 70 to 75 is quite hard. And it's just about the volume you're dealing with in terms of, you know, the amount of people you need to influence to go from, you know, 70 to 75 is a tremendous difference. Whereas from a 20-25, you can add not that many people, and it'll still, you know, you'll see an impact.
Wow. Yeah. Let me just pause everybody right there. We're just about to the end of the hour tonight. It flew by. It's fantastic. I love all the conversation. I love getting into, and I love how, like, Jennifer and Don as well, like the recruiting and HR world, we're always getting back into the score, right? We all want to know more about the score and how it works and everything. It's fantastic. But I think it's interesting. It's a great conversation, and I'm so glad we were able to spend a little time on it tonight as well. First off, let me just thank Megan Berry from clout.com, K-L-O-U-T.com, marketing manager for Clout. Megan, thank you so much for coming on with us tonight.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me.
Great. So clout.com, anything else you'd like to mention or tell our listeners what they should know about Clout, or just go to clout.com and check it out if you haven't already?
Yeah, definitely.
Great. Megan, thank you so much. Jennifer McClure, thanks for coming on tonight. And you know, you got some heat on the back channel, I see, as well. You're going to have to deal with that. But, Jennifer,
well,
thanks
you know,
so much.
Heat comes, you know, you can't stand in the light if you don't want the heat.
Great. All right. Well, thank you so much. And, Dawn, of course, thanks for sitting in again tonight. We'll see you again very soon. Next week, I'm going to open up all the lines for everybody who's called in and didn't come on board tonight. We'll do a few minutes of after show off the live stream, but we'll hang out and chat for a few minutes at the top of the hour. If you care to, there's a lot of people on the line. Let me open up all the lines. And that's it. Next week, HR Evolution preview show number one. China Gorman and Dwayne Lay are going to be with us. We're going to talk a little HR Evolution. And that's it. My name is Steve Bose. Thank you so much for listening to the HR Happy Hour, and we'll see you next time. Thank you, everyone.
This episode of HR Happy Hour was sponsored by Acquire, makers of leading workforce planning and analytics solutions. Visit blog.acquire.com to find relevant information related to HR and workforce topics. Plus, it's a chance for you to weigh in and exchange your brilliant ideas with us. Join us at blog.acquire.com.
again. Yes, you are my friend. We all have some things that did get us. At least we did each other.
Wow, thanks everyone. Great show. A lot of fun with that show tonight. Thanks everyone for hanging out with us tonight.
It was a great show. Good show.
That was great. I think we lost Megan. That's okay. I think Jennifer's still with us. Don is still with us. Just so anyone knows, I've opened up all the lines. So anybody who was on hold when we hit the top of the hour, about 8 or 9 more folks, all the lines are open. Anything you do say does make the recorded archive. So please be mindful of that. We're not live streaming right now, but what we do say on After Show does make the archive for later consumption. So anyway, anyone who wants to say hello, please feel free.
But it doesn't affect your cloud score.
It will not affect your cloud score, sadly. You know, but boy, we learned a lot tonight about cloud anyway, and I'm not sure we dug into the recruiting issues as much as maybe we could have, but still, fantastic show, and I loved getting a little bit behind the scenes of this. I think cloud's catching on. I mean, I see a lot of people talking about it.
Well,
you know,
yeah,
I think
people want to measure something. We need measuring sticks. Am I tall enough? Am I pretty enough? Do people like me? Yes, exactly. People like to hold the mirror up and make sure that, you know, they're getting a little stroke here. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it might be a brilliant marketing thing, frankly.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, or anybody else, has anybody heard reference of clout scores off of Twitter or outside of the Twitter channel?
I have not.
Steve
referenced an article that I had shared on Google Reader where it was called, what was it, Steve? Something about
a social media slut. Right, yeah.
And he listed like 6 examples of where it had come up in the hiring process that he was aware of, and the writer said, you know, I'm actually okay with this. So I think, and I have a friend here in Cincinnati who is a, you know, social media person and learning development person who's actively looking for a job, and I saw her tweet last week. She was frustrated because a certain clout score was a requirement for a job she was applying for.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, really, we're a little ahead of the game on this, but I think that was part of the reason why I wanted to do the show too, right? I mean, the people who listen to this show, right? The people who are listening to Blog Talk Radio at night on a Thursday are the kind of people who know what clout is, right?
We have no clout. We have no life.
Oh, boy.
Clout equals losers, huh?
Oh,
wow,
man.
Thanks, Steve.
No, but we understand. I mean, we're definitely ahead of the mainstream in terms of, you know, I'm not saying it's a mainstream thing yet, but it's not so crazy that we should talk about it, I guess is my point.
I think, Steve, you're going to see that clout moving more and more into the mainstream. I mean, just what they're doing with their perk stuff is pretty kind of cool, right?
Yeah, and now that they've got this link up with Spotify, I think we're going to see a lot more with Spotify coming up in the mainstream.
Well, but those perks, I mean, depending on, like, if you are in that kind of digital royalty 80-plus crowd, there actually are companies that are sending, like, products. You know, Olivier Blanchard is he's written about being a Clout Perk program member, and he's written about some of the packages that he's gotten. So, I mean, it's a way, I think, for marketing purposes that companies can really use that. I don't know, you know, Monster, for example, uses Clout as one measure of how they choose, like, their top 10 bloggers of the year or who
really
they try to interact with. It's one. Now they use, you know, other things like Radian 6, and they use a whole bunch of different things. But, they, you know, they're trying to identify influencers in the recruiting and HR space. You know, why do you think that certain people buy us drinks and hang out with us? It's not necessarily because we're fun people, you know?
No,
I thought it was my charming, my winning.
Like, what?
Well, for you, maybe. But they identified you initially.
Well, you know what? You do bring up
your online influence, and I think, you know, they were wise to do that. And some of the other job boards you know, maybe haven't done that, I don't know. You know, obviously it's a huge industry, so identifying 10 or 12 people that you want to try to influence right. may or may not help, but it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, no, fair point. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's like, I'm sure that the 80-plussers are getting all kinds of swag.
you don't even need to be an 80-plusser. I mean, it was incredible when, you know, I'm a guy sitting in Toronto and got an email saying, hey, do you want to go to this movie? We show up at the movie, and there's an entire two rows reserved for clout people only.
Wow.
And everybody's kind of going, oh, those guys over there are bloggers. They're cool. They're bloggers. And I was kind of saying, they're going, not that cool, but thanks.
I mean, that's no different than what they used to do for columnists, for newspapers.
Yeah. It's no different than paying somebody to cover your conference or something else. It's you know, who's going to get the message out to the most people possible. And, you know, clout can be a way for conference organizers, event organizers, companies to use that. You know, it is interesting to think about it being used in the hiring process, but I think it definitely being used in the marketing process.
I find it interesting that the biggest losers in all of this are going to be the older executives who don't think social media matters.
Well,
yeah, entirely possible.
They're losing anyway, if that's their opinion, in some areas, you know. But the senior executives is still very much a good old boy network, and those people aren't on social media.
Right, yeah.
But that's
today.
Right. It's going to change over time.
And we stayed away from the marketing angle and sort of the product promotion angle, you know, tonight on the show, because, you know, it's not really what we talk about on the show, and nor did I feel like, you know, I had any sort of insight to give on that. But certainly it's a fair point. I've seen the what's happening with those perks and things like that, and it makes perfect sense,
well,
right?
I think it is part of the HR conversation, though, Steve, just because, you know, if you've got a kick-ass employment brand and you want to see, you know, whether or not that brand is reaching out to the people who can be influential, who can kind of put it out to the masses, clout may be a great way to identify those people.
Or it might be a way to identify your internal influencers. Who are your internal influencers that can help communicate your employment brand?
Yeah. No, good points. Good points all, no doubt.
I think that's an interesting twist on how do you use people's influence to actually promote your brand, promote your job. I do like that twist on it for sure.
Yeah. Right, and that was something we maybe perhaps should have gotten into a little bit tonight as well, right? How do organizations who are out there promoting actively trying to recruit, and it's a tough market for certain skill sets, and we know that, or are we looking at things like that to leverage our staff? Because there's lots of solutions on the market now, these tech solutions that are attempting to facilitate making those things easier, but I don't know of any of them that are really thinking about it at that next deeper level that are doing any kind of targeting in that manner at all to identify influencers or people with a lot of reach or something in that space.
Now, is Clout still in like a beta mode or not?
I don't know.
Or Clout? It's still in beta, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But
perpetual.
If you think about it, let's say you're hiring for what's the big holy grail, whatever, you know, Java developers or Ruby on Rails or whatever, and you look at your employees on Clout and you have four or five people that are listed as influential in Ruby on Rails, so you definitely would want to try to approach them and see if you could involve them in helping to communicate both your employment brand and the job opportunities. And that's just smart recruiting.
Yep.
But I'll bet most companies are not doing that, right? I mean, you know, but that is smart, but they're trying to do that intuitively as opposed to in a way that actually measures it.
Yeah, right, because the intuitive way, Jeff, is right. They go down to that department, that development group, and they go to the top couple developers, and they just say, hey, do you know anybody? Yeah, we need somebody. Who do you know? Reach out, right? They do it more informally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I also think it'd be interesting from a practical standpoint to see who your internal clout masters are, because you might not want to lose them. I mean, might be a way to keep people engaged or figure out who you need to keep engaged in your organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. Man, super stuff. Any final thoughts from anybody before we wrap it up for the night? Before we all sign off and check our cloud scores really quick?
Exactly.
Hopefully it went up during the broadcast.
Yeah.
Jennifer, I'm with you. Mine's been going down lately, and I'm pissed. I don't know why.
Mine, like, dropped the whole point. I'm sad.
You need more RTs. You need more replies.
I need to get Pete Cashmore to retweet something.
Yeah, maybe.
Hey,
all
just
right, guys.
I just want to share that Zupan just influenced somebody at my university and pissed her off. And now I have to have a phone call tomorrow. It's on my Twitter stream, and I'm like, oh, great.
That's on my influence there.
She actually,
I'm bringing the reply right now, Johnny.
Betsy's our social media face at FIU, and she just got pissed at that valid employment comment. I'm like, wow, Zupan's not even on Cloud, and look at the influence he has. He's messing up my world already. Thanks, Frank.
I'm just going to tweet out, like, every day for the next couple of weeks that Frank Zupan influences me in life, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
There you go.
And my score will go up and no one will know.
Absolutely. No,
I'm checking your score, Frank.
We'll be able to give you plus K and Zupan.
Yeah, plus K and Zupan.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Or plus Z. Maybe
we
should make up. We should make up a new one for Frank, a plus Z.
Yeah. I want a category. Plus K and Zupan. I like the sounds of that.
I love it.
Can
I'm tweeting that out as soon as we wrap the show. That's going out.
Can I have my own letter too? Can I be plus Z?
Yeah, plus Z. That's what I'm thinking. A plus Z.
Or do you want it to be minus Z's?
Well, I'll select the minus Z's, Paul. Thank you.
Awesome. Hey guys, I just want to thank everybody. Good fun tonight. I love the energy, and I really appreciate everybody hanging out with us tonight. Fantastic. So next week, like I said, we're going to do about three or so HR Evolution shows. Lots of HR Evolution tickets left to go, man. Get your tickets. Tell your friends. So China and Dwayne Lay are coming on next week to talk about HR Evolution. They're doing a session there, and we're going to have the Talent Anarchy is coming on the HR Happy Hour in a few weeks.
Oh, that'll be good.
Never been. Yeah, I've never been on the HR Happy Hour, shockingly, in 2 years. We've never had either of those guys on the show, so they'll both be on. And we'll probably do one more HR Evolution show. In addition, I didn't even get to say all this. Dawn, I never end the show early enough to give out all the announcements. So for you kind souls who are listening to the 15 minutes into the after show, God bless you. But we're doing Naomi Bloom is coming back for her sort of annual HR Happy Hour appearance. And Bill Cudick's coming on in a couple weeks as well. So we'll do a Naomi show, we'll do a Bill show, we've got some HR Evolution shows coming up, and I don't know, whatever else comes up down the path on the HR.
Well, you're turning into Leno, Steve. The only guests you get are pimping a book or a movie.
Hey, I've got to do that. You know, I'm pushing. I'll tell you. Speaking of the book, you know what? I'm pushing really hard on, and I haven't booked him yet, but I think we're going to get him. Is the guy from Google named Douglas Edwards, who just published that Inside Google book, Employee Number 59, what it was like to be at Google the first 5 years. So I read the book. It's excellent. And we should have him in. I'm just having a hard time pinning down a date on that. And then the other guy who's going to come on too, I think, and again, working on dates, is the guy who writes The Corner Office for the New York Times.
Cool.
He writes that column. Yeah, and he wrote a book about all the interviews he's had with all the CEOs from the Corner Office column. So the Corner Office guy is coming on, too, in a few weeks.
Cool.
Hey, Paul, those are the people who have something to say. I like people who have something to sell. You know, they're talkative.
That's true. That's true.
No doubt. So lots of cool stuff coming up. And, again, thanks, everybody. I think we're out, and we'll see you next week on the HR Happy Hour. Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Bye.
Good show.
Bye.
Later.